is the Cap and Haw Show from CSN Chicago and streaming on WGN+.
The bottom line is that nobody can score. And they'll tell you, well, it's because of great defense, great scouting, a lot of film work. Nonsense. Nonsense. College men's basketball is so far behind the times, it's unbelievable. It really is. I don't coach it. I don't play it. So I don't understand all the ins and outs of it. But as a spectator, forget that I'm a coach. As a spectator watching it, it's a joke.
That's Gino Auriemma yesterday. Uh-huh, and they're just beating down the doors to watch women's basketball.
What's he talking about?
I don't know. Welcome back, Cap'n Hogg, Comcast Sports at WGN+.
I don't understand why he would go out of his way to criticize men's basketball at the college level when he is the coach of in a sport that is so routinely ignored.
Boring.
Well, I mean, again, he would have arguments. I mean, you could make the argument as he would and as you have, you know, Brooke did, you know, before, that the women's basketball at the college level is a purer form. I mean, there's a lot of things that are, you know, there's not dunks. There are not a lot of a reliance as much on athleticism and sheer force and brute strength. And I can see that. I'm not going to criticize and demean the women's game the way that he tried to do the men's game. I just don't know what he's basing this on. Now, if you want to say that, if you want to compare it to the NBA and say the shooting isn't as good, the games aren't as predictable because the talent level is more flawed, sure, that's an argument. But to just downright criticize a sport that is just, you know, about to stage the most popular sporting event in America outside of the Super Bowl, it's dumb.
Agreed.
Gino's just dumb.
I don't get it. 312-235-2525. So we had Porter Moser on yesterday.
Yeah. No jinx for Porter.
No jinx for Porter.
Bring him back.
Sparky books him. And I'm like, yeah, that's great. Get Mike. Good job. Good call. We get him on, and they win last night 63-62 over Louisiana Monroe on the road to take two straight and win the series and win the CBI. Now, it's not the NCAA, but they won 24 ball games. He has rebuilt that program. He went from the horizon to the valley and didn't skip a beat. Congratulations.
Learned a lot from Rick Majerus. He's sort of the Majerus coaching tree. You like that. Just a really nice guy, quality guy.
Yep.
And you're happy for him to have that kind of success. What's really surprising, Cap, is we talked a little bit off the air yesterday, is that he has had success at Loyola. He does have a good reputation in the business. You wonder why even, you know, DePaul in town and other programs out of town, why they wouldn't look at a Porter Moser and say, interesting, let's talk to him.
Agreed. I think he's an excellent coach.
Bowling Green has an opening now. It's in the Mid-American Conference.
Yep.
Would that be a lateral move, do you think?
He wouldn't make that move.
Yeah.
No shot. No shot. And they don't pay very well up at Bowling Green.
Yeah, that would be a lateral move.
Yeah.
But I think there have been other opportunities that you've wondered if he would be in the mix because of his past. He's got some experience, and you know, he's got a nice thing going now. Congratulations to Loyola.
Good coach, so congrats to Porter. Really happy for him. 312-235-2525. Bob's in Plainfield. Hey, Bob, you want to react to something? What's going on, bud?
Hi, Bob.
Hey, guys, how you doing? Haven't talked to you in a while.
Thanks for calling.
You guys were talking earlier in your earlier segment about John Danks and the White Sox pitching staff. And a few weeks back, we had a conversation where you said that Don Cooper was one of the best pitching coaches in Major League Baseball.
I did.
And I disagree with you. And, well, what is Cooper doing for Danks? You know, Danks has been struggling for, what, 3 or 4 years now?
Yeah, he has been struggling.
This guy's at the mountain. You think he'd help this guy out?
Well, I think he's trying to help him out. You can't diminish, what was it? Was it elbow surgery, shoulder surgery? Shoulder surgery.
That's a way harder thing to come back from.
I don't know that I'm going to pin that on a pitching coach, Bob.
No, I'm not pinning it on the pitching coach. But, you know, how long ago has it been since he had the surgery?
Three years.
Yeah, it's been several years. He's not been the same pitcher since the surgery, though. That goes without saying. He's relearning how to pitch. He doesn't have the velocity. He's got to be a nibbler. He's got to be more of a thinker on the mound. And that takes time. Look, if it sounds like I'm making excuses for John Danks, I'm not. I'm just saying that I would not necessarily write him off as a guy that, you know, he's a fifth starter. Your expectations should be pretty realistic. 10 wins would be 10 to 12 wins, right?
If that.
Okay.
There's no way he wins 12 games. None. Yeah, no shot.
I agree with you, Cap. If he gets the double digits, it would be a plus.
I don't think he wins double-digit games.
I don't think so either. I mean, I personally don't care how many games he wins. I just want to see him pitch better.
Bob, what don't you like about Don Cooper?
I just think he's overrated. I've seen so many – that bullpen has been disgusting for 2 years. He's done nothing with these guys. Eric Johnson, you know, I don't know what happened to him, but he was one of the better prospects. And then Cooper got his hands on him, and now he's – I don't even know where he is anymore.
And do you just discount the work he's done with Quintana?
Quintana, what did he do for Quintana? Quintana was a good pitcher coming up.
Well, what did he do? What did he do for Eric Johnson? You can't use a pitching coach's influence in a negative way as explaining what's wrong with one prospect in Eric Johnson, and then not give the pitching coach credit for the development of another guy in Quintana.
I got to give him credit for what he did with Quintana, because there were other teams, the Cubs included, who turned this guy down, and he has become a really good. Well, the Yankees let him go after a failed drug test.
Yeah, thanks, Bob. Appreciate it. Call back another couple weeks.
He had a failed drug test with the Yankees from a medical condition.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah, but it wasn't anything that was like a supplement or we're not talking PEDs here.
No, correct. 312-235-2525.
The Sox thing is sticking, man. It's bad. It's a bad stink on me right now. It's a bad feeling. I'm not a Sox fan, okay?
He's not. Trust me, he's not.
The thing is that I get these calls and people, and you back me into this possible south side corner here. Next thing, Mikey's got the Sox hat on. I respect Don Cooper.
You can just embrace it. It's okay. We're all friends here. It's going to make you feel better. It's going to make me feel better. It's going to make Cap feel better.
It's not true, though. I like both teams equally.
We just talk these things out.
And I dislike both teams equally. How's that?
You're just not a fan.
I'm not supposed to be. I can't be.
Right. You're a columnist.
Yeah.
I can be that guy.
Right.
Let's see. Joe is in Las Vegas, Nevada.
What's that I smell?
Sox fan. Dave is exactly. Dave Hall is just a bandwagon guy. But, Cap, you were in Arizona.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
You've seen these pitchers. You're not telling me what Lester and Bosio as the number one pitcher, and Bosio is the guy telling them all, that Arrieta, Hendricks, and Hamels can't win 15 apiece, that Woods is going to be close to 15. Their bullpen should pull out late-inning games, at least 10 through the 162 games, that they should pull 10. You're not thinking that this club can win 90 games?
No.
Wow, Dave. Look at their ERAs. You keep yelling for Hamels. Go get Cole Hamels. Look at his record. He's in less than 500.
Stop looking at wins and losses. Look at analytical numbers. Cole Hamels is a stud.
Oh, Cap, you haven't been watching the Philadelphia Phillies. That's why they're falling apart. A stud for a railroad track that everybody can run over him and get 5-6 runs off of him. Cap, you surprised me.
Come on. Bandwagon jumper, really? Come on, Joe. You're all over the place today.
Wait, Cole Hamels.
All over the place.
Hold on, Joe. Joe.
Another fan, Dave, telling me I'm all over the place.
Joe, what was Cole Hamels' ERA last year?
What, 317?
Try 246. 246.
246? Oh, come on.
In 204 and two-thirds innings. Year before that, 360, 305, 279, 306. I'm going back to 2010. dude. This guy can flat out throw.
Ten. You're up to 2010. All right. Look at what he's done. He is not winning in Philadelphia. Hendricks is coming up and winning. Arrieta, he's telling you, leave me until the ninth inning. I'm telling you. You guys, put me on tape, okay?
All right.
And I'll call back at the end of the season.
Okay.
90 wins, guys.
Thanks,
hey,
Joe.
You guys have a nice one.
All right, you too.
Thanks, Joe.
Good listening, too. But, Dave,
let's go.
Yeah?
Fairweather fan. Fairweather fan, dude.
I'm not a Fairweather fan.
Bandwagger. When it comes to winning, you're going to be like, oh yeah, I was right on the tracks with him. I knew they were going to be good. I thought 84 wins. We'll see, Dave. Hey,
all
you
right.
guys are good, man.
All
have
right,
a
Joe.
Nice one.
See ya.
All right, Joe. Listen, every columnist is a bandwagon jumper. You have to stay loose.
You jump from story to story. You're a story jumper.
Some people call it a bandwagon, but yeah, it's a story to story. It's what's the biggest thing going on? What are people talking about?
Right.
And if the Cubs are runaway winners of the NL Central, be driving that big blue bus.
Big blue train.
Did he call you a bandwagger?
Yeah, he did.
He didn't get out wagging, right? Okay, I just wanted to clarify.
I think it was bandwagger.
Hey, Don in Fox Lake wanted to weigh in at something. Hey, Don.
Hey, Don.
Hey, how you doing? Watching that game, the Loyola game last night, was reminiscent of 1963 when my wife and I went to a party. She's a Loyola grad and watched them beat Cincinnati with, I think it was Vic Grouse, with a tip-in at the end of the overtime. And few people probably are aware of this, but Loyola is the only school from Illinois that's won an NCAA tournament.
That's correct. Only one to ever pull that feat off.
They had a great team. They had Harkness. They had
Vic Rouse. They had a whole good team.
Vic Rouse.
Don, we got a roll, buddy. Thanks for the call.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Don.
There you go, Don out in Fox Lake. 312-235-2525. We'll do page two coming up about 11:40.
Yeah.
Sound good to you?
Yeah, sounds good to me.
Also got to talk about the Wrigley renovations. You were up there.
Yeah.
I'm going today.
Entertaining.
I'm going up there today. So
bring
got all
hat.
Of that. Bring my hard hat.
Yeah.
Any rats?
Didn't see any rats.
Good. 312-235-2525. It's Cap and Haw. I'll be right back.
Cap and Haw.
We're talking Ernie Johnson from TNT. I'm watching and I see Shaq crash into the Christmas tree when Kenny Smith's trying to block him out. Did you know that was going to happen?
Like, he'll look over and say, you know, what would really be funny is if you push a Christmas tree over on me, or if I did this, or if I did. And so he's always tells us about how I've been to acting school, I've been to stuntman school, I know how to handle myself.
That's messed up.
He does his own stunts, ladies and gentlemen.
Your Shaq impersonation is tremendous, Ernie. I have to say that. That's
you got
great.
A Barkley?
What's going to be interesting, first of all, and then he'll go on and say, first of all, for the third and fourth points as well.
That's terrible.
That was Ernie Johnson yesterday with us, who was a very, very entertaining interview and a really nice guy to talk to. 312-235-2525. It's Cap and Haw. So I'm going up to Wrigley after we get off the air.
Yeah.
Just kind of look around.
To see the scoreboard.
Yeah. The video
board. Ginormous video
board. Jumbotron.
It's huge. Bigger than you think when you see it in these artist renditions.
Did you go in the park?
No. I mean, I had
just
no...
walked around.
Yeah, I just walked around, and it was very odd.
Tweet some pictures?
No, I didn't. I'm not a really good twit picker. I have bad aim, and I don't know. It's not really...
Wait,
I'll do it if I have to.
What do you mean bad aim?
I'm not really good at that stuff, so I didn't. And I wanted to get around there. Some people were around
42
there taking
feet
pictures.
By 95 feet.
What's that?
That's the size.
Huh?
Size of the video board.
Oh.
42 feet by 95 feet.
Oh, my gosh. It looks bigger than that. And it's odd to see people. It's like a tourist attraction. I mean, Wrigley, this time of year, has some people generally walking around it. They put up the big, signs and the likenesses of the players. But there's people taking pictures of construction workers. And there's during a break, I got there right after the show, so a lot of people taking lunch breaks. And they're asking these guys to pose for pictures with them. And then one couple asked the guys in a hard hat to take their picture. And there's, you know, it's like it's a touristy thing. Hey, look, I can see in there. That's yeah, that's where Chris Bryant's going to hit number 250.
How do you think it's going to be Sunday night?
How do I think it's going to be? Chaos.
Chaos.
Yeah, total chaos. Logistical nightmare. Hopefully good weather.
How's the parking lot, like where they put the TV truck? Like where the players' entrance used to be.
It's fenced off, and it's a construction site, Cap. There's no real other way to put it. I don't know how it's all going to come together. I really don't. I'm looking forward to seeing how it will, and I recommend getting out there early, take public transportation, all those things. Because
I'm debating not driving.
Yeah, I would think that's probably a good instinct. I don't know how they're going to do it. It looks odd without the bleachers. Yeah, it looks very strange with the big giant scoreboard. It's an adjustment period. It's going to be, like I think Julian Green said the other day, just one of these things that you're just going to have to deal with all year long. And I think they're working hard. I'm no construction expert. Who knows what time frame they're working on, if it's ahead of schedule. I don't think anything's going to happen fast. Never does.
I think that it's going to be a really cool night, Sunday night. I don't mean temperature-wise. It'll be really cool because it's the first time that thing will be lit up with fans in it. John Lester takes the bump. Adam Wainwright, the Cardinals, the Cubs. Sunday night baseball, all of it. I think when you get to game 2 and game 10, until that thing is back to some semblance of normalcy around mm-hmm. there, it's going to be like, geez, let's get this done already.
See, though, it will be. You say that, and I agree with you from that perspective. But what do you have now that you didn't have in previous years when you might have thought, oh, geez, let's just get this over with?
Got a good team.
Yeah. You have a baseball team that is now finally the main story
right
at Wrigley Field. You have finally a baseball team that is going to dominate, in theory, discussion, your attention, rather than, oh gosh, when's the next Landmark Commission meeting? Are they going to get approval for this? Oh geez, do you see that Tom Ricketts video in the clubhouse? Yeah, you know, the silliness.
Remember that video?
Yeah, I do. The silly stage, you think this is the beginning of the end. Because you finally, in theory, have a baseball team that is a rebuilding project ahead of schedule. This wasn't the year they were supposed to compete, right?
Right.
It was supposed to be one more year.
Right.
So you have a construction project running behind.
And a baseball team running ahead.
Yeah, but of the two, which would you rather have?
The baseball
Absolutely.
Team.
Absolutely. So remember that when you're stuck in traffic, when you are frustrated by, you know, construction noise or dust, pardon our dust. I saw that sign a couple times. The focus has got to be on the baseball. And if the focus finally back on the baseball, then it's worth it.
Agreed.
If you're a Cubs fan.
Agreed.
So
I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it. 312-235-2525 is our phone number. Eric is in Chicago. Eric, what's going on there, buddy?
Hey, Eric.
Hey, Cam, hey, Hawk. Just over the other day, I was there in the neighborhood, and I completely agree with your comment that it's going to be chaos over there, because I was walking, I believe, on the other side on Waveland, and I could just see how everything in the way is just going to make traffic there opening night just a complete mess.
Yeah, I don't know how that's going to work.
I think I'm taking the train.
You should.
I think we're going to park at the train, take the train down, and take the train back.
Yep, that's exactly what I'm doing. I'm coming from the far from the south side, and I'm going to take the train in because I was thinking about taking Uber, and there's no way I think I'd be walking for miles to get into the park.
Well, I think if you take Uber, it's going to cost you like a fortune because they charge you by the time you're in there.
Yeah, And by the time you even get near the park, it's probably going to be 3-4 miles from Wrigley.
Yeah, we were going to get there at like 5 to eat. The game's at 7. I'm thinking of getting down there earlier.
Going out. The gates open at 4:35 on opening night.
Yeah, for follow-up. I might get there at 4.
Cap shows up for brunch.
I might.
Thanks a lot, Eric. Appreciate it.
No problem, guys. Have
See you, buddy.
One.
Have fun. I'm serious.
Brunch with the Kaplis.
Yeah. Maybe we go to Salt and Pepper and have a little late brunch.
There you go.
Watch Fallout Boy. My kids like Fallout Boy, Garrett especially. And
What time is that?
4:35, the gates open, and then the concert, I think, is right around that.
Oh, wow. I forgot about the concert.
And then have a little dinner over at Vines and then go into the game. That's a great night.
At least it doesn't look like it's going to rain. I mean, that's what you worry about. Hey, just a baseball thought before we get back to this Wrigley stuff. So, you know, every time that, and I made a mental note to myself, every time somebody mentions Jake Arrieta, like Bob has him winning 15 games, I think you've got him, you know, pretty much making an all-star appearance.
Mm-hmm.
Was last year legit enough for you to think that this is going to be sustainable? You know what I mean? This is not a guy that has had more than what? One good year.
He had a half a year when he came over. He was pretty solid. And then last year it was excellent.
Is Jake Arrieta, has he removed the doubt, done enough to remove doubts in your mind that he's not going to just be just slightly above average?
I trust Chris Bosio. Mm-hmm. And in talking with him, not on the air, off the air last week, he believes Arrieta is going to be outstanding. We'll find out.
Because the second half of the season, he was as dominant and as good as any pitcher.
In the National League, he was great.
Yeah.
He was outstanding.
I just wonder, are we assuming too much about him that this season's going to be a continuation of last year? Is he one of those guys that you can make that assumption about?
You could say, got to prove it again. No question about it. No question about it.
Not close to Sale and Samardzija, though, as a 1-2 punch. Lester and Arrieta, right?
Not right now. Sale, Samardzija, far more proven.
Of those two, take those two. Which two will combine for more victories?
Sale, Samardzija, Lester, Arrieta.
20 and 16. Let's see. 36 probably for Sale, Samardzija.
Samardzija's not winning 16 games. Are you out of your mind? Do you know what the over-under in Vegas is on him?
11, I don't.
11 and a half.
Okay. 20 and 15. 35.
And Lester, the over-under, is only 13 and a half. That's surprising.
That's right. Well, you got to figure in those two stints on the DL.
Easy now. Relax. Get my blood pressure up.
Well, tell me. Let's hear it then.
I'll say that 35 Arrieta wins two. 14. Lester wins 14. Is 28.
Lester wins 14 games?
Yeah.
Your $155 million pitcher is only going to win 14 games for you?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. That's bad. That's a bad year.
Wins are not a normal – you don't worry about stats like that.
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot you were an enlightened baseball man. I was using victories as a traditional mean of measurement.
Bad barometer.
I'm sorry. I forgot. I'm dumb baseball guy. I'm not evolved
and
to,
I'll
to
say
your,
that Sale,
your level of intellect.
Sale wins 16.
So you're going to tell me that John Lester could win 14 games and you still feel great about his year?
Well, if you told me he throws 200 innings, makes all his starts, yeah.
We don't know the circumstances there. Okay. Maybe I'm using the wrong formula then. I'll come up with a more sophisticated formula.
A more
so you can
analytical
your,
formula.
Yeah, okay, I'm sorry. Sorry about that.
By the way, what do you think the concessions are going to be like on Sunday night? Because everything's torn up. Where are they cooking?
Grilling out. A lot of outdoor grilling.
That's a big piece of revenue.
Well, what's torn up? I mean, I don't know.
I mean, you've got bathrooms closed? I mean.
No Wi-Fi.
No Wi-Fi the whole season, I'm hearing.
Is that go for the press box, too? I forgot to ask.
Yes, I believe so.
Whoa.
That's why I got my hotspot card.
Yeah.
Keep it charged.
Like those.
But I just tweeted, Sox, actually, I'm going to retweet them as well. The White Sox have just announced, we made bacon on a stick better. How is this possible? A maple bacon option. Have you had the bacon on a stick out there?
No.
Oh.
How can you, Mr. Kale for Lunch, have bacon on a stick?
I was there for a tasting. It was phenomenal. This is last year.
They're having a tasting right now.
I know, at 11 o'clock.
Yeah, how about that? Thanks for the invite, Brooks.
I got the invite.
Oh, okay.
And I said, hey, Han and I'll come over at 12:30. We get off the air at 12. We'll come right over there. We'll bring Mike, the Sox fan, Matt, the Sox fan. And they said, no, we're good.
We're good.
We're okay.
It's great.
Don't want you. 312-235.
Maple bacon, really?
25-25. Maple bacon. It's really good. 312-235-2525. I had it last April. Was that a game there?
That can't be good for you.
Probably not. But you got to learn to splurge once in a while.
Okay.
312-235-2525. We'll talk more baseball with you, Jack in Highland Park. And Orman's been holding and wanting to talk about Rose.
We'll get to the calls next segment.
We'll get to all of it. 312-235-2525. Cap and Haw.
Now back to Cap and Haw on WGNplus.com and CSN Chicago.
Kind of like a patient time right now because you think you feel good, but you're still a little bit ways away. So it's nice to get out there at the team today, skate with them, and you know, hopefully sooner rather than later I can do different things like contact and stuff like that.
On the scale of awesome, it's a 9.5.
That's our guy, fanboy, David Haw.
It was a 9.5 yesterday.
It's pretty cool.
It's good.
Hey, Sox Diamondbacks, last spring training game of the year on CSN. Today at 2 o'clock, Sports Talk Live tonight follows that at 5:30. Hawks-Canucks tonight. Coverage starts at 7.
And that's a good one.
Patrick Boyle will have the pregame show for you with Steve Conrad and I think Jamal Mayers. And then the White Sox preview show with CSN's Chuck Garfine and Bill Melton tomorrow night at 9. Saturday night, Holly and I have the Cubs preview show.
All right. Looking forward to that. Baseball right around the corner. And that was, by the way, before we got into this, before they had my awesome meter, that was Patrick Kane talking about practice yesterday.
Correct.
All right, let's get to the phones.
312-235-2525. Jack's in Highland Park. Hey, Jack, what's going on there, buddy?
Hey, Jack.
Hey, how you guys doing this morning?
What's up, pal?
I got a question and a comment to make. My question is this. It seems to me that Rick Hahn this year has decided the Sox are going to go for it. Don't you see them going after, as the season goes on, what they need? You know, they're going to need something additional. What they need before the trade deadline, going after what they need to get them over the hump. And then my comment is, I think overall over the years, the Sox suffer from sort of a lack of love from the sports writers in Chicago. They're sort of like the unwanted stepchild, it seems. It's sort of like they're an afterthought in the conversation. And it struck me that way for a long time. When the Cubs stink and the Sox were good, you didn't hear much about the Sox. It was blah, 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 Cubs all
the
time.
I got to tell you, Jack, in 2005 we did the study, the column inches, the year the Sox were good. I mean, I know what you're saying. The perception is there, but I don't think that's valid when the Sox are good.
Well, yeah, okay, 2005, yes, because, well, heck, they won the World Series. But aside from that year, I bet you if you study the column inches year to year, the Sox aren't even close.
I bet you. I take that bet, Jack. I take that bet. When the Sox are good, we cover them like a team should be covered in a major market. Thanks, Jack. I dismiss that idea that, okay, maybe when relative mediocrity, the Cubs are a bigger story because they're rebuilding, they have new ownership, they have all this stuff. Yeah.
I think a larger fan base.
It's probably weighed in favor of the Cubs. But when the Sox are good and maybe the Cubs aren't, don't tell me.
Sox get plenty of love.
Come on.
Plenty.
And I hate that term, unwanted stepchild. Let's stop that. Let's strike that from the entire lexicon. I don't even like hearing it. Jack.
By the way, we do have breaking broadcasting news. Can I jump in here with this for a
second?
Sure,
please.
ESPN has terminated or will not renew the contract of Bob Knight. His final broadcast will be this evening. Boy. I love Coach Knight. I listened to him the other night. He's awful. As an analyst, awful.
Who do you think told him that? Coach, going to have to let you go.
Yeah, not going to happen anymore.
In a room without any chairs, hopefully.
I don't think he wants to do it anyway.
No, you could tell that. Let's get to Chris in Cal City. Morning, Chris. How are you?
What's up, Chris?
How you doing? How you doing, Captain? How you doing?
Well, good. We're doing good. How are you doing there, bud?
All right. I got a quick question. And now, I'm not a Cubs fan, but, you know, I love all my Chicago sports teams. But I've been watching the Cubs during the spring season, and I think if they could just have a solid bullpen and then at least keep the games close and at least score like they've been scoring during the spring season, I think they could at least get to the conference championship. That's my bold prediction. I'm not saying they're going to win, but I at least that's what I think. Have a great day, y'all.
You Thanks, have a Chris. Great day, Chris. Thanks for watching.
All right.
See you, buddy. 312-235-2525. Let's see. James and Gary. Hey, James.
Good morning, guys. I appreciate you taking my call.
Hi, James.
We appreciate you calling.
And, I have a question. And I know we have talked about this before, pertaining to why is it that the Cubs, and we know that there's going to be probably around 40,000 people Sunday night at the game with no bathroom facilities, nowhere to eat, no place to park.
Well, hold on. It's not no bathroom. They closed one men's and two women's, I believe.
Okay, I stand corrected on that issue.
And there are concessions. It's not like there's none.
Okay, I understand that. But couldn't they have worked something out with the White Sox?
No, because A, they weren't going to do that. B, what do you say to all the businesses in the community?
The answer is yes.
They could not.
The answer is yes, but they chose not to.
They could not.
Why?
What do you say to all the businesses around there that are mortgaged to the hilt that rely on 81 home games to pay their bills?
I think
good luck to you.
It would be unorthodox and it would be different, but what I think James is asking is the experience going to be impaired to the point where you wish you would have done this elsewhere?
And if I'm still on the air.
You are.
Yeah, you are.
I just wanted to know, let's hop back on another question that you guys were talking with Pardue about the Bulls. And he was saying that he would rather not see Washington. If you're in a championship playoff, what does it matter who you're going to
see? Oh, it matters. It matters, James.
James, I'm with you, buddy. If you're good enough to win the title, doesn't matter
Thanks,
who they
James.
Put in front of you.
Oh, it does matter because you get better in the playoffs and you don't want to. Well, the point that Will Pardue was making is that it was if you get Derrick Rose back, it's going to be an incremental improvement. You don't want to face the Wizards in the first round because he's going to be feeling his way.
Okay, and we don't want to face the Cavs in the second. And heaven forbid Atlanta's for real. We don't want them.
Again, you're taking
New
a
Trier's
point.
New Trier's not in the playoffs.
You're taking a point and you're magnifying it to suit your hyperbole. I am saying that as Derrick Rose comes back, it's going to take some time. That first round, you don't want him trying to guard John Wall. You want him trying to play the Milwaukee Bucks. That's ideal. If you're going to sit there and tell me that a Derrick Rose in his kind of rusty Derrick Rose is better off and it doesn't matter if he plays the Wizards or the Bucks in the first round, that's just nonsense.
I won't disagree with you there. I don't disagree.
Okay.
But at some point, whoever they put in front of you, you got to beat
them. In theory, it all sounds all macho. Bring on whoever you want. We'll beat anyone. It's not real realistic.
Back to the phones. Andre is in Chicago. What's up, Dre, man?
Hi, Andre.
What up, Cap'n Hall?
What up?
I totally agree with you, though, Cap, when you say about the wins and losses with Lester and Samardzija in them. That really don't matter. You got to look at the quality of the start, like, to me. And Lester is way better, has way better quality than Sale and Samardzija to me put together. So you can't look at Lester and say, oh, he's only going to win 14 games. Yeah, true, he might only win 14 games. But then you have to look at did the Cubs win out of the 33 starts. How many wins did the Cubs
okay.
actually get out of 33?
I know, Andre. Thanks for the phone call. You're
Thanks,
right.
Andre.
You're right. There's all sorts of ways. The problem is sometimes, Cap, I mean, I love baseball. I grew up, that was my favorite sport growing up. And I was a Cubs fan growing up. I love baseball, and I got 10,000 baseball cards at home. And used to go
still in. Have them.
Yeah, my brother and I are going to fight over them one day.
Bring them in,
and you're going to
go through those
at my mom's
boys.
Place. So it used to be simple. You look at the back of a baseball card, and you see Rick Rushel, 20-8. That's a good year. Oh, 13 and 11. Not so good year. Used to be so simple. Now I feel like I feel like watching the game and talking to you. Oh, you know, if John Lester has 14 wins, it's going to be a bad year. Pounce. I feel like somebody drinking a glass of wine at some sort of wine club and being told that I don't know, I didn't do it correctly. Like, I didn't sniff it. I didn't behold it. I didn't do it. I'm not a connoisseur of the wine. And you don't drink that properly. And you don't appreciate it to the extent that I do, because I know all things about wine. You know what? Baseball seamheads, give me a break. I'm tired of that. I understand it. I embrace it. I get it. It's all part of the game. Let some people appreciate and look at 14 wins and think, that's going to be a bad year if John Lester wins 14 games. Because that's the way we're traditionally used to looking at this. Okay, Mr. Wine Connoisseur? All right, I'm done.
Let's go back to Indiana. Hey, John, what's going on there, buddy? How you doing, Governor?
Pretty good. How you guys doing?
Good.
We're doing good, Slappy.
Hey, I'm going to my 23rd Cubs home opener. And what I'm wondering, now on the bleachers, they're being worked on. How many seats, how many fans less will they have in the stadium?
About 5,000.
About 5,000. Okay. And when are they supposed to finally be done with that, with the bleachers?
2046.
Yeah.
The bleachers are going to open May 11th or approximately thereabouts for the left field, June 11, 10, 12, right in there for right field.
Oh, and tell Dave I got over 750,000 baseball cards.
Really?
Yeah, I got them stacked in the basement. There's boxes I haven't been through yet.
Why don't you tweet us your address? I'm breaking in tonight.
Yeah. Don't. My wife had that happen before.
Oh, God. Good luck, John. We'll see you, buddy.
John, take care.
Take care. Bye.
Baseball's big in LaPorte. That's slicer country.
Isn't that where Charlie Finley used to live?
Yeah, yeah.
See? I didn't think I knew that.
You know your Indiana history.
I do.
Yeah, good old Charlie Finley.
That's it.
That's the home of the LaPorte Slicers. And that's when the best baseball.
He was hitting on my girlfriend. That's a true story. He was like 70 years old. And she was working for him and had to drive him somewhere. Next thing you know, his hand's on her leg. And she's like, whoa.
Mike, she was working for him.
She's like, you won't believe what happened today. Charlie Finley had his hand on my leg.
Let's go back to working for you.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's go back to that.
Guy was a billionaire. He had companies.
Oh, that's funny.
Interesting.
So, Orman in Chicago has been holding since last week when we were in Arizona.
Last one.
Hey, Orman, what's going on, buddy?
Hi, Orman.
Hey.
Thanks for waiting.
Dude, that's all right, Dave. What's up, Dave and Dave?
What's up?
Hey, look, man, they should trade Derrick Rose. They should trade him and get Durant in here.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of teams that would like Kevin Durant even after the surgery.
You know this Q-Day.
Oh, this Orman O'Quinn?
Yes, sir.
My man.
Yes,
he was a great coach at King High School when they had the best team Illinois has ever seen.
The last team that went 32-0.
That's exactly right. Will you please tell Coach Cox I said hello?
I will.
Thanks,
you guys
Roman.
Are the best.
Hey, thanks, Dave. You know basketball. You know Chicago basketball. You know he should be gone from here. Because Derek brother is playing his role.
Orman, we're on the same page, buddy.
I know it. You know Chicago basketball.
You're the man.
Thanks,
all
Orman.
The best. We'll talk to you.
All right, thanks, Dave.
See you,
take
buddy.
Care.
That guy was a great coach at King High School. They had Marcus Liberty and Rashard Griffith.
That was a
Tommy
team.
Hamilton. I remember they were tied, I think,
1986,
with Rockford
right?
Guilford in the state tournament in like 91, 90 or 91 when they won the mythical national title. And they outscored him 35-3 in the fourth
Jamie
quarter
Brandon?
To win in a blowout.
Was that
Jamie Brandon might have been there.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had some amazing players there. Yep. My buddy Landon Cox, Orman O'Quinn. They had a really good team, and he had the nicest wife in the world. Oh, phenomenal. just a sweetheart. I think her name was Diane. Diane O'Quinn. Sox Diamondbacks last spring training game today at 2 o'clock on CSN. Sports Talk Live tonight after that around 5:30. Hawks Canucks tonight. Coverage starts at 7. And the White Sox baseball preview show with Garfine and Melton tomorrow night at 9 o'clock on CSN. Cubs preview show with me and Holly Saturday night.
Let's do page two. I have a story about a Northwestern football player I want to tell.
That'd be great. Get the ultimate experience with the all-new Samsung Curve 4K Ultra HD TV at Apt in Glenview. The Samsung 4K Curved Ultra HD, you get the fastest internet and smart TV functions available. Come in Apt today and see the complete selection of Samsung electronics. Or call them up at 847-544-2228, 847-544-2228. For complete satisfaction, free delivery, a better experience, and the best customer service in the world. Ask for our buddy Steve Shapiro. Check him out on the web, apt.com, abt.com. Pleasing people since 1936. We'll be right back on Cap and Hall at page two.
We're desperate for stories, and this one is so compelling.
This is page two.
Welcome back, Kevin Haw. Home stretch here on CSN. You writing for tomorrow?
Yes, I am.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, well, I am too.
Want to reveal the topic?
Once I figure one out, I'll tell you.
That'd be great.
So let's start here. The other day, I was in Cleveland coming back from the Notre Dame-Kentucky game, and it was Sunday morning. And Cap, not to whine, but it was early Sunday morning, and it was – had a 5:45 a.m. flight, so that's 4:45 Chicago time. And so you get to the airport about an hour or so before. Anyway, short night, all right? And you've been there. Everybody's been there. You get to the airport. You don't feel like doing what? Talking?
Right.
You figure people are going to be in kind of foul moods, no moods. So I'm getting in line to get food, and everyone, you stand in line at the airport.
What time is this?
This is probably 4 a.m. Chicago time.
Okay.
Sunday. Mm-hmm. And you're struck by anything at this hour by uncommon courtesy, right? Mm-hmm. Or by people saying, thank you, please, how was your day, how are you doing?
Right. If you get a really cheery coffee person, they're like, thank you for coming, have
a
great day.
I'm in line behind a young man who's large, a large young man. Probably 6'4", I'm thinking 280-ish. Mm-hmm. He's got a Northwestern football sweat top, tank, or just a kind of jacket.
Mm-hmm.
And I am not paying attention to what I'm doing except for waiting in line until I hear him say, thank you very much. How are you? You know, very exceedingly polite, exceedingly considerate. And I think, oh, that's interesting. I wonder who that is. I don't really recognize the guy. So fast forward about 15 minutes later, we're waiting in line to get on board. You know, you're the boarding process.
Mm-hmm.
Young man lets somebody get in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
He volunteers another family to go with because they have a kid with him. He asks them how they're doing. He talks to the gate agent. I am totally impressed by how this college kid is comporting himself at 4 in the morning when clearly all you want to do is get on the plane,
and
take a nap.
And fall back asleep.
Yeah. I don't drink coffee when I fly those flights because I want to sleep on the plane. So I'm looking at this guy like he's running for mayor. And I'm thinking, I'm impressed. And I see then he's got this backpack and he's got a number. It's number 53. So I'm thinking, okay, I should really know who this is because he's got the bowl stuff. He's look like he's a player, you know. Jeff Mogus, Northwestern football player.
Uh-huh.
And afterward, I just introduced myself. You know, I said, I didn't like, hey, you know, I'm going to write about you.
You know whatever. Who I am?
No, I
didn't. David Haw.
I didn't do that.
Lead columnist.
I wanted to know who I was talking to.
Mm-hmm.
And again, firm handshake, looks you in the eye, polite.
Call you sir?
He was raised right. He's from Cleveland. He was going back to campus spring football.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, why are you on this flight this early? You're a college kid, you know, basically. It's Sunday morning. Yeah, he's got things to do. He's got places to go. He's got responsibilities. And I'm like, okay, this is clearly a kid that is an achiever.
On top of the stuff.
And I was impressed. So I get back, and I can't help myself. I texted Fitz. I'm like, look, I got to tell you, this doesn't happen to me all the time, but you have an exceptional young man who on your offensive line. And I told him the story, and he's like, thanks for letting me know. Appreciate it. It's good to know. I'm not surprised one bit. Jeff Mogus, quality student athlete for Northwestern. Great representative of the program.
Good to hear.
Yeah.
Good to hear.
Thanks. Have a great rest of the day. Go Cats.
Beautiful. All right. Let's talk about Tony Romo.
Okay. Oh, yeah. You love this one.
He restructured his deal. He said earlier in the offseason, they were probably weren't going to get anything done. They end up getting his deal restructured. It creates almost $13 million in cap space. He gets a $16 million signing bonus right now, and then they could spread that over the life of the deal. So he's going to be around. His salary this year goes down to $1 million. You don't
but
do
he
that.
Gets a giant.
Giant signing bonus. $16 million bonus.
You don't do that if what?
If they don't have plans to spend that money right now. Got to believe that Adrian Peterson's going there.
You've got to believe they want to create enough cap space to make that happen. I would get, I'd slow down a little bit because you just don't know that the Vikings still are willing to deal him.
But why would you do it? You would say to him, hey, we'll do this if we can get the deal done.
Because it gives you flexibility going into the season that you don't have. I mean, you want to have more than more room than you had in case things come up. Maybe the rosters they still have to draft people. I mean, obviously, that's probably the big target in Dallas.
Do you realize 16 mil? Can you imagine getting a check for 16 mil?
I can't.
Now, if you were a Bears player, what do we have, 10% state income tax here? Plus the federal, you're talking about 40-some percent going bye-bye. In Texas, they don't have state income tax. Do you realize how much of a significant amount of money that is?
Wow, that's a big difference.
$16 million, 10% here, that's 1.6 yeah. that he saves. That's a lot of glue, man.
That's
so I was
lot.
Looking. Wyoming doesn't have a state tax.
Are you
Florida,
moving?
Florida.
Are you moving? Is
Texas,
that what you're trying to tell us?
I don't think Nevada has a state tax either.
Wyoming doesn't?
I don't think so. But I'd be bored to death living in Wyoming.
How about
boring?
Idaho? Idaho.
They might not either. I don't know. I
what are the
look.
Other states?
I just know of three off the top of my head. Okay. Wyoming, Texas, Florida, and Nevada. Four.
Nevada. Live from Reno, the Cap and Haw Show. How about that?
I think I could enjoy Nevada. Play poker in the afternoon.
I don't know.
Play golf.
I don't really.
But could you live in Wyoming?
Yeah.
Ugh.
I think I could probably.
It'd be breathtaking for like 3 days, and you'd be like, okay, what the hell else am I going to do?
Breathtaking.
Boring.
What? You'd find your way. You'd figure it out. What you
dodging cattle in the street?
You would not want to live in Wyoming because it's boring?
Yeah.
Not enough to do?
No.
See, though, yeah, I mean, it's all about where you grew up.
I need a city around me. Like Dallas?
Bustling, shaking,
I could deal
mover,
with.
Mover, shaker. Dallas is nice. I mean, I don't know that I would want to live in Texas, though.
Why?
I don't know. I just don't think I would.
It's warm?
Yeah. I just don't think I would want to live in Texas.
Cookie, you lived in Houston, right?
You sure did.
Did you like it?
Nah, you want to talk about boring cities? My God. Nothing to do in Houston. Nothing.
You ever heard of playing golf?
When it's 117 degrees and 200% humidity? That's not fun. Let me tell you.
I'm still wondering about your Wyoming bias.
It's just boring. I mean, it's a pretty state. I hear it's gorgeous, but
a lot of mountains.
Yeah, but okay.
You like cattle? You just said you like cattle.
For like 3 days.
Joe Tiller was a big.
Like, have you ever been to the Grand Canyon?
Yeah.
Okay, would you go back?
Yeah.
For what? It's a hole.
Been there three times. It's a hole.
Like, it's cool. You go look at it. You go, cool. Can we go?
Was that your reaction when you went to the Grand Canyon?
I've never been.
Wait a second. You're going to criticize the Grand Canyon and you've never been?
I'm not criticizing.
You've never been to the Grand Canyon and you're going to sit there and say it's no big deal.
I didn't say it's not a big deal.
You've got to go.
All I'm saying is you look at it and you go, that's cool.
No, you don't.
Can we go?
No, you don't.
You ever been to Mount Rushmore?
No, you don't. No, and I want to see it.
Stupidest thing I've ever seen.
No.
Went there with my girlfriend. We're on vacation because we got to go to Mount Rushmore. We drive to Mount Rushmore. I looked. I went, okay, I'm good. About 3 minutes.
You go to Arizona
tops.
Every year. You go to Arizona every year, and you've never taken a day and said, I'm going to go to the Grand Canyon?
No.
Oh, my gosh. You have no idea what you're missing. You really don't.
I imagine I'll walk up and go, wow.
No.
Look at Mother Nature, she did. Okay. I'm going to go get something to eat.
Have no idea what you're disparaging right now. You can't even begin to imagine the vastness that is the Grand Canyon. It's awesome. It's better than Caner on the Ice.
No shot.
It's cool.
You give me my Chicago papers, a cup of coffee on a beautiful spring summer day in the backyard or on a deck
and your
somewhere.
iPhone. And your iPhone.
On my iPhone tweeting, yeah. I'm good.
Oh, boy.
Yes, I'm shallow. 312-235-2525. And I'm okay with that. We're back tomorrow.
Yep.
And we will see you
then. See you Friday.
See you Friday. Have a good night.
All right. Well, see you later.